We encourage God's people to be vocal about what God has done in their lives. It may not be for your benefit. It may be for someone else. It may not be for the trial that you're going through, but it may be for someone else's. It may not be for your dark hour and your dark time and your dark trial, but it might be for someone else. The Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but even more so as we see the day approaching. But it tells us the purpose for that and the reason for that before that is that we might encourage and be a help to one another. Amen. How more can you be helped than to get in the house of God and find someone that is in the midst of a dark storm in their life, of finding that there's hope in Jesus from some saint of God that has been there before. He's been down that road. He's traveled that dark place and those dark alleys and those dark nights and those dark trials alone. And in the midst of that loneliness, he's found out that Jesus is right there with him. Amen. Because he wasn't afraid to praise the hurt away. He was not afraid to shout the house down when God has done something and God has been so good to him. And I tell you, God has been good to us. Amen. He's better to us than what we deserve. And we can just praise him for that. Amen. We deserve hell, but praise God, he gives us grace. Amen. How we deserve to suffer and to be in misery. But praise God, he pours his mercy and his grace and his love upon us. And he gives us something to hope in and to hope for. Amen. I tell you, we need to come around one another, encourage and help and love on one another. And when you see a brother or sister struggling, it's good to know that you can say something or do something. Sometimes you don't know what to say. Just let the Lord lead you. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Just do as the Lord directs you. If we would just do what he tells us to do. And praise is commanded of the church and God's word. The sacrifice of our lips, not our tears, not what we do in our heart, but the sacrifice of our lips. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Amen. We need to praise. Amen. We need to praise. Ask Brother Joe. He can tell you about some dark times he's been in. And God had just slapped him upside the head and showed him in his dark hours and in his dark times. And boy, you think you got it bad. You don't know how good you got it. And he's left a place where I love this story. He went in and he was all crying and miserable about a little scratch on his toe that he got when he fell and he was hurting and his back was bothering him. And they took him and set him in a room and he's in there complaining and thinking about how miserable and how forsaken and how much he loves God, but he just wonders where God's at and why God ain't touching him. And they bring a fella in there and set him down in the same room next to him. And Joe said, I'm sitting over there feeling sorry for myself. And he said, I see this a fella. He reaches over there and he starts undoing some straps. And pretty soon he takes off his prosthesis. He said, I left out of there with a whole different attitude. Amen. We learn how blessed we are. Amen. God will give us a different attitude. Amen. Stand with us if you're able this morning. Turn in your Bibles into Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. I think the message this morning is going to go right along with the service already. I thank God for the songs that have been sung, amen, for what's been shared in testimony. And I'm thankful that God just leads the service, amen, and has his way. In Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the great privilege granted unto us to be in this meeting house, in this house of worship today. And Lord, help us, God, just to make it that a place of worship this morning as we praise you, God, and worship you for all the goodness that you bestow upon us and for the good things, Lord, that we know you'll do. Father, bless our hearts today. Father, stir us today. Father, draw us today unto you, God, that your will might be fulfilled and your will might be accomplished and your will might be done in each and every heart and each life. Help us, Father, to be obedient. Obedient to praise. Obedient to move. Obedient to repent. Lord, obedient to whatever it is you deal with our hearts in. And God, help us, Lord, to surrender ourselves unto you that your will might be done. Your will might be accomplished in all things. And now, Lord, take your word this morning. Move in our hearts with it. And Lord, help us, God, to see what it is that we need to see. Remove me, Father, and help me, God, not to be a hindrance in the service, Lord, but just to preach and to proclaim thy precious word, that it might go forth, Lord, the way that you intended to do this morning. These lips are feeble. These lips are flawed. But God, we just pray for your touch this morning from on high, that you'd give me the clarity of thought, the plainness of speech, Lord, that is needed to proclaim your truth this morning. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. We say amen. And amen. You may be seated. In verse number 23, the Bible says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." This name was given that the prophecies of God might be fulfilled. This name was given that God might receive the glory and honor. This name was given that God might share with man his intent, his heart, and his purpose for man. But see the whole picture. We need to go back and we need to see this Emmanuel, God with us. Aren't you thankful that we have that promise of God with us? He's not just with us, he's for us. He's not just for us and with us, he's in us. And praise God this morning. Through him we can do all things. In him we have all power. Amen. We need not fear what the world does and what the world brings. We need not fear when the devil comes our way, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. And I praise his name this morning for knowing and for the assurance that I have a God that loves me and cares for me. Let's go back for just a moment into the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah in chapter number 7. And let's begin to see what Emmanuel has meant and what Emmanuel means to individuals and what it means to us as God's people. Back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, it says, "And therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, you got to understand what's transpiring here. You got to understand why the prophecy is given here. Israel has been dissolved for some time. It's two kingdoms now. It's a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. The northern kingdom of Israel has done went completely off of the chart in the way of a false religion and false worship and false teaching. That's just like a whole lot of people in this world today. Amen. They're going their own way. They're going to do it their own way. They're going to do it in their own time. They're going to do it according to their own plan. They're going to do it according to what suits them. But I tell you something, that just don't suit God. Amen. Amen. God says we're going to worship Him, we're going to do it His way. His way is in spirit and in truth. And the only truth that we can account to, the only truth that we can hold to, is thus saith the Word of God. This is the only truth that's worth standing on. Amen. The only truth that matters. But Israel has separated themselves, and now Samaria is their capital. They've become so adulterous that in just a few years from the time of this prophecy, God is going to dissolve the northern kingdom of Israel completely. They're going to be carried away and they're going to be dispersed. And the people that are left, the remnant that is left, are going to be intermingled with a bunch that the Assyrians will bring in amongst them. And they will become a bastardized nation, a bastardized people. They will have no national identity, so to speak, in and of themselves, because they'll be so mixed that they're no longer a people that is set aside, a people that is recognized by where they came from and who they were. And then we see that the southern kingdom of Judah is now being ruled, and they have had some good kings. But at this point in time that this prophecy is given, Ahaz is the king of Judah. And Ahaz isn't a good king. He's not one of the better kings that Judah had. As a matter of fact, he's one of the most wicked kings that Judah had. He's offered his children unto the idol Molech. He sacrificed his children. He's put his children through the fire, the Bible would say. In other words, he burned his children to the false god of Molech. And God is displeased with everything that's going on. But I'm glad that when God is displeased with us in our sins and in the midst of our sins, he doesn't forsake us and doesn't throw us away. Praise God, he gives us hope. Amen. He gives us something to cling to let us know that he hasn't forsaken us. Sometimes we just need a song to know. Sometimes we just need a word from God to know. Sometimes he sends a sign to let us know, but he doesn't forsake us. And Ahaz is a wicked king, and he's worshiping the false gods, and he's worshiping the false way, and he's doing it right there in Jerusalem. But now the great nation of Assyria, he has risen up. Assyria was one of the greatest world powers of the ancient world. It was one of the most feared world powers. They were known for their cruelty. They were known for being barbaric in their treatment of those whom they had conquered. And that's why Jonah was so afraid to go to Nineveh. Amen. He was going right into the heart and right into the seat of the Assyrian Empire. But praise God, I want you to know, when you go in the might in the power of God, you don't have to fear those that you're going to. Amen. Because God has all power, and God can give you and do through you what needs to be done. Now Israel and Damascus, Assyria in Syria, have come to Ahaz, and they want to form a confederation with him to stand against the Assyrian army. You see, the Syrians are right next to Assyria. They're in close proximity, and they're afraid. And now everything that they have stood for, and everything that Israel has stood for, and everything that Judah has stood for, whether it's with God or against God, is at jeopardy. And they want to form a confederacy, a group that will stand against Syria. And as the king of Damascus, the king of Syria comes, as the king of Israel comes, of Samaria, they say, as they come and they offer this confederacy to Ahaz, Ahaz thinks within himself, well, I'm not going to do this. He said, I'm just going to bypass them. I'm going to go directly unto the Assyrians. And that's just what he did. He robbed the temple. He robbed it of everything that it had, all the gold and all the silver. And he sent it to the king of Assyria to make a compact and to make a deal with him. And when Assyrians, and you got to keep this, Assyrians and Syrians, all right, two different people. When the Syrians, when Damascus and Israel, Samaria found this out, they were angry, and they purposed in their hearts to come and to destroy Judah, to destroy Ahaz and everything that was there. And he's worried. He's preparing for the battle. He's he's checking out the water supply, and God tells Isaiah to take his son. Now the name Isaiah has a specific meaning. How many knows what the name Isaiah means? It means God is salvation. Amen. Our salvation is in the Lord. And that's what the name Isaiah means. But he tells Isaiah to take his son. And why is that important? Because his son's name has a specific meaning as well. It means that God will restore a remnant. God will keep a remnant and bring it back. You know, God, any time that he has done something, has always kept a remnant. Amen. There's always been a remnant. The world might go off the deep end. The world might go wherever it wants to go. But just remember this. There will always be a remnant in the church. God will always have a remnant somewhere that's going to stand true and stand faithful with him. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that remnant. Amen. This world is going off the deep end really fast, but I want to be a part of that remnant. But he sends Isaiah to talk to Ahaz, and he tells Ahaz, God sent me to talk to you, and God wants to give you a sign. Do you know God wants you to have a sign this morning? God wants to give you something that you can know. Amen. Amen. God wants you to be sure. God wants you to have confidence in what he's saying. He's given a word that's filled with prophecies, with signs and wonders, and many of them have already been fulfilled. As a matter of fact, the last great movement, the last great act of the Word of God is still yet to come when Christ comes and receives his bride and takes his bride out of this world and sets up his 1,000-year millennial reign on this world and judges sin and puts sin in its place and brings final judgment upon that Satan, that old dragon, the devil, and puts him in the lake of fire, and all those that have rejected him, they burn in the lake of fire. That all those things that have been prophesied up to that point have already happened. The signs are already there. Amen. The roadsides are getting us there. You know, when you go somewhere, you don't know where you're going. You're dependent on the road signs. If you depend on GPS, it might not always get you there. If you depend on GPS, it might take you the wrong way around about. Amen. But praise God, if you follow the signs of the Word of God, they'll direct you straightly to the gates of the pearly city of God. Amen. You won't have no mistake. But the thing of it is, when you read the signs, you got to read the signs until you get there. You're looking for this sign, and you're looking for that sign, and you might not understand what the last sign's going to say till you get all the way there. But God will give you the signs to get you to where you need to be when you need to be there. And right now, we need to be preparing for that second coming. God wants you to have a sign, and God has given you signs that you might know. And he told him, Ahaz said, I'll give you a sign. Ahaz said, I don't want it. He said, well, God says to ask for a sign, whatever it is, he's going to give it to you. He said, I don't want it. You know, there's a lot of people today that don't want to accept the signs that God has given. A lot of people today don't want what God has promised. God says, that's fine. You want to rebel against me? He makes the pretense, well, I don't want to tempt God. He just doesn't want God's sign, because God is bringing conviction of his heart. God has shown him that he's trusted in a false God that can't help him. But I'm the living God that'll give you a sign and can give you assurance that you can know that you know that you know I can give you hope. Amen. You know, that's what Emmanuel is. That's what God with us is. That's what God for us is. And that's what God in us is. It's hope in a hopeless world. It's hope where there is no hope. It's hope in a hopeless situation. It's hope when it seems all hope is gone. Our brother Joe, he done give up almost. He thought there wasn't nothing going to help him, but praise God, he got a sign in that hospital room that God could give him hope, and he found hope. To the drunkard, there's hope. For the drug addict, there's hope. For the soul that is steeped so deep in sin that you think there's nothing that can help you, there's hope, amen, and his name is Jesus. And God said, you don't want hope, I'm going to give you hope anyway. You don't want a sign, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen. You're facing problems. You need hope. You need to know that I'm an in-charge God. You need to know that I'm an on-time God. Amen. You need to know that I'm a faithful God, and I want you to know that, and I'm going to give you a sign so that you can be assured of that. And so many today are rejecting what God wants to give us. So many are rejecting God's help. Ahaz, he needed help. The Assyrians double-crossed him, and he was looking maybe to find help from the Egyptians. The Egyptians were just going to come and take advantage. They seen an opportunity. They was going to jump on it. You know, that's just what the devil will do. He will double cross you and he will set you up to let his demons and all the foul things of this world just see the opportunity to come in and to destroy your life, to destroy your testimony, to destroy your witness, to destroy all hope that you might have. But God says you can still cling to the sign. You can still cling to the hope that I give you. You see, in Isaiah's day, in Ahaz's day, in the book there, in Judah's day, as they were facing this uncertainty, this time of turmoil, this time of hopelessness, all Ahaz's plans had done fell apart. All his confederacy that he had set up, everything that he was trusting in, it fell apart. But yet God's plan stands true. If you look over in chapter 8, look over in chapter 8 of Isaiah for a minute. Hey man, where I want to go. Let's look down to verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. I want to read on down a few verses. The Lord spake unto to me again, saying, for as much as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloh, that go softly and rejoice in reason and Rimmelah's son. Look at this. They won't even talk. He won't even speak the name. The prophet Isaiah won't even speak the name of those kings that have been set upon those thrones in Samaria because they don't even account for anything. He just calls them Rezin and Rimmelah's son. Now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth upon them the waters of the river, strong many, even the king of Assyria in all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over, and he shall reach even to the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. The land that God promised. The land that God wants to help. The land that God is trying to give assurance to. Verse 9. Associate yourselves, O you people, your confederacy, and you shall be broken. Your scheming and your planning isn't going to come to anything, because this is still the land of Emmanuel. This is still God's land. It's still going to happen according to God's purpose. It's still going to happen in God's time. You might set your sights and you might set your plans and you might envision that you're going to find your help everywhere else, but the only place you're going to find help is in the Lord. Amen. Give ear, all you far countries. Gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. And gird yourselves, and you shall be broken in pieces. Amen. He tells them that they can't do anything to stand against them. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. Praise God. I'm glad that in Isaiah's day, he found hope in the Lord. He found hope in Emmanuel, because God was with them, and God was for them, and God was in the midst of them. Amen. And nothing that would come against them was going to prosper, no matter if they strangled them. They were in the water up to their neck. You know, when you're about ready to go on, amen. You know where your help is? It's in the Lord. Amen. You know when you've got so low that you've got as far down as you can get, and you're as low as you can get, you know where your help's going to come from? It's going to come from the Lord. You know, when you've laid your best plans down and you've done all that you can do and you've tried everything that you could do and everything that you can do has failed, you know where you're going to find help? It's in the Lord. You know what happens when it just seems like a tragedy? tragedy after tragedy after tragedy and problem after problem after problem is coming your way, where you're going to find help, it's in the Lord. You're not going to find it in a bottle. You're not going to find it in a drug. You're not going to find it in a sexual relationship. You're not going to find it in the pleasures of this world. You're going to find it in the Lord and in Him alone. Praise God. That's what Isaiah is telling us, that God is with us. Amen. And God is for us. And I don't know what you're facing today, but I'm glad for Emmanuel. Amen. What did Emmanuel mean to Mary and Joseph and to the people in the time of Jesus' birth? Man, you need to go back and look at the history. You need to go back and look at what they're doing. Judah, Palestine, has become a place that has changed. It has some stability. And it has turmoil. It has prosperity. But it has robbery. It has all these things that are going on. 735 years ago, in Isaiah's time, they were facing problems when it seemed like the only light in the world was maybe Judah, and that light was dimly, was quickly dimming and extinguishing. By the time we get to Joseph and Mary's world, and in the time that Jesus was born, we see the Roman occupation and the Roman control, and the Romans brought a lot of things. And you know, people will compromise in their lives. They'll compromise in our churches. We compromise a lot of things, and we find out pretty soon that what the things that we've compromised haven't brought all that we thought they were going to. Yeah. Amen. When you compromise your principles, when you compromise your standards, when you compromise the things of God's Word, you'll never find the happiness and joy and peace that you thought was going to be there. Amen? We compromise and we put everything else first. I've seen a good post going around, and I shared it, I think, this morning or last night, one or the other. I've seen it. I might have shared it a couple times already. It said it used to be that people use church today, or they use everything today as an excuse not to go to church, where church used to be the excuse not to go to everything else. Yeah. Amen. Church used to be the excuse not to participate in everything else. Church used to be the thing that came first and foremost in our lives, and people were willing to compromise. That's what has happened in Israel and Palestine. As the Romans have come in, they found a financial prosperity. They found a sense of somewhat of security. They think now we're safe and now we're prospering because of trade with Rome and because of the things that Rome wants. But it found out that prosperity and that stability soon turns into a different animal than what they thought they had purchased and what they thought they had brought home. How many remembers the movie Gremlins? A lot of you do. Remember that little furry, funny thing? The cute little, was it Mogwai? Isn't that what it was called? Huh? Yeah, Gizmo, little Mogwai or whatever it was, and they brought that little thing home and was told, whatever you do, don't let it get wet. Don't let it get wet. Amen. When that thing got wet, it unleashed havoc. It unleashed turmoil. It unleashed something upon that community, upon that town that they had never bargained for. Amen. My favorite scene in that movie is that little old lady getting ready to go up to in her stair, a riding chair. Sister Peggy, I think about you sometimes. Did you see that movie? Man, they rewired that little old lady's chair. Amen. And she got down and sat in that chair to go upstairs, and man, that thing launched her plumb through the house. Hey, man, they didn't get what they thought they were getting. Hey, man, What they thought they were getting, it looked pretty, it was cute, and it was warm, and it was fuzzy, but it had problems, and it had some things. And that's the way it is when we compromise and when we allow sin, when we bring things into our hearts and our lives that don't belong there. That's what is happening in Israel, that they have openly invited to roam in. That it was a good thing. It was a great thing as long as we are making money. We think money is everything. It was a good thing. We don't have to worry about being attacked. We're in alliance, we're in allegiance with Rome, and Rome is here now, and Rome is going to protect us. But pretty soon Rome became the oppressor. Pretty soon Rome became the one that was levying the heavy taxes. Don't you remember reading that in the time of Jesus the taxing took place? They decided that everybody had to go back to be taxed. I'll tell you what was happening. There was more turmoil going on. Herod the Great had ruled as a vassal of Rome, as an emissary of Rome. He wasn't a true Jew, but he had ruled Israel for years. Now Palestine was under his control. He was under Roman control, and he was a ruthless king. But he allowed Israel to do great things. He was the one who rebuilt the temple and built the new temple, the mighty temple that they seen. 40 years they were building that temple. 40 years they were setting it up. It was one of the most magnificent sights. They say that you can see. They say for miles around, as you were traveling to Jerusalem, you would see the temple as it set on the hill, and as it the sun shined off of the gold and all the adornments of the temple. It was just an impressive sight. It was Herod that had built that. It was Herod that had brought these things. It was Herod that had ruled under Roman rule. But now Herod is dying. Herod is old, and his three sons are all jockeying for position. Anybody ever been into a situation where the situation is changing and everybody is jockeying for position? Everybody is trying to, maybe your job is changing and a new boss is coming in, and people start jockeying for position. They want to make a good impression. They want to let the leadership know that they're the ones, or there's something to be had. There's a job opportunity that's opened up, and everybody's willing to cut everybody's throat to try to get this new position and to get this new title. I mean, I've seen it over the course of my time at Amtrak. I've seen it time and time again. Folks just jockeying for position. They're trying, and that's what's happening in Israel. Herod is dying. His three sons are now all vying for a position. They're all jockeying, trying to set up what they're going to do, and everybody is uncertain as to what's happening. And in the midst of all this, Joseph is told that his wife is pregnant. How am I going to deal with this. Now, all these other problems, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get my business established. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get my family together once me and Mary get married. I'm trying to get all these things figured out, and now I find out she's already pregnant. What am I going to do now? Our lives are filled with uncertainties. Amen. Our lives are filled with turmoil. Our lives are filled with trials that come our way that we don't have any idea of how we're going to deal with them. And God shows up. The Bible says it's the angel of the Lord. That means it was God himself. Amen. When it's the angel of the Lord, it's God himself. When it's an angel from the Lord, amen, it's an angel. It's a messenger that's sent. I believe it was God himself that showed up to tell Joseph, don't be afraid. Amen. Don't you worry about this. I've got this all under control. It's all a part of my plan. Hey, you know, have you ever got to the place where everything, all your plans just went, pfft. Amen. Everything that you thought was going to happen just didn't happen the way that you wanted to. We got married. We planned. We got married right here. We're all standing, probably standing right about here, wasn't it, Delbert? When we got married, somewhere right along in here, I said I do, and she said I do. Amen. And we done had our plans. I was in the Navy, so we was going to wait a couple years, maybe even wait till I get out of the Navy before we started having kids and started our family. And we were young. I was 17, she was 18, and we after all, we got the whole lifetime together to do all this, and we're just going to go about this and just take our time before we start our family. She got pregnant on her honeymoon. You talk about blowing your plans. Amen. You talk about God reminding you that he's still the one that's in control. Amen. Amen. But he had a purpose for that. He had a reason for that. She says the only thing that kept her going, the only thing that helped her, when I was on a ship that stayed at sea. I mean, we'd go to sea 6-8 weeks. We'd come back maybe for 2 weeks, turn around, go back to sea, come back in 2 or 3 weeks, turn and go back to sea. And when you was in port, you wasn't home all the time because you had to stay on duty. Amen? And depending on how many people you had in your division, sometimes you could have a 5-night duty schedule. Sometimes you could have if you're real fortunate, you could have a 7-night duty schedule. But a lot of times it was a 3-night, or a lot of times it was a 2-night, every other night. So you didn't know what your duty schedule was going to be when you get back into port. And you hope for the best, amen? But just because you was in port didn't mean you had all this time together, amen? So we had all these plans, but she said that baby's what kept her sanity when I was away. That baby is what encouraged her and helped her. See, God knows just what we need. God tells Joseph, look, you've got all these plans, and you've been making all your plans, and you've got this idea of what your family should be and how it should be. He said, but I'm going to interrupt your plans because Mary is going to have a baby, and don't you be afraid, because what Mary is going to have is of me. That holy thing, it was so indescribable, it's so unreal that the angel could only describe it as that thing that God's going to do, that holy thing that God's going to implant within you. It's unthinkable. It's inconceivable. But praise God, what was it going to be? It was going to be Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. God was in the midst of all their turmoil, in the midst of all their uncertainty, in the midst of a changing political climate and everything else, God says, look, he's Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. And praise God, I'm glad that God's with us. I'm glad that he came and walked among men. He let us know that he's approachable. He let us know that he understands, that he empathizes with us. The Bible says that he was touched with everything in his body. He knew every temptation. He knew the pain. He knew hunger. He knew thirst. He knew everything. He knows everything that you're dealing with. He knows everything that you're going through. But praise God, he wants you to know that he's right here with you. Emmanuel meant hope to Isaiah and the people of Judah. Emmanuel meant hope to Joseph and Mary and the people of Palestine and Judea. Folks, Emmanuel means hope. He's still here. He's still among us. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst also. He's still here. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. The Apostle Paul has told, writing to the Philippian church, and he said, the life that I live now is not my own, but it's Christ that liveth in me. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Look at what he says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. He says, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? He goes on to say, and I hope you know that we're not reprobates. Amen? Don't you know that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be a reprobate? You know what a reprobate is? That's one that is rejected. That is one that is turned away from God. Amen? That is one that walks far away from God. That's one whose heart and whose life isn't in the center of God's will. You're a reprobate. Amen? But I want you to know something. If you walk with him and he walks with you, you got Emmanuel right with you. You got God with us. God within you. In John chapter 14, verse number 16 to 20, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I praise his name. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad he visits with me. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad he's with me. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. The glory of the Father. Amen. I'm glad that he lives among me. I'm glad that he visits with me. I'm glad when I come to worship, I don't have to bring him with me. He's already here. Amen. But I'm glad that when I come, he comes with me. Amen. I'm glad that you can't keep him away from me, and I can't keep him away from you. But praise God, he's God with us. Amen. He's a personal God. He's a personal Savior. If you're here this morning and you're not saved and you're feeling that tugging at your heart and you're feeling something that you can't understand and you can't explain, I'll tell you what that is. That's God with us. How God's walked among us. How God's ministered to us. How God's dwelt in our midst. And he's speaking to your heart today, and he wants you to get saved. He wants you to know that hope. He wants you to know that peace. That's what Emmanuel's all about, is giving us hope. If in this world only I have hope in Jesus, I'm of all men most miserable. Praise God. I agree with the Apostle Paul. I have hope. Hope not in this world. Hope not in the things that are of the flesh, but hope in the things that are of God. Hope in the things that are eternal. Hope of the things that are in the glory world. Hope in the things that he's prepared for me. Praise God this morning. He's with us. A child of God. If you're in the midst of a trial, you're in the midst of a trouble, you're not alone. Maybe nobody else can help you. No one else has the word that you need to hear. Praise God. I know who does. Jesus. Amen. He speaks. I like the song, he whispers sweet peace to me. Amen. Why is that? Because he's God with us. Amen. He's not just God with us, but he's God in us. The Apostle Paul said that he doesn't live externally. He doesn't live apart from us, but he lives in our hearts if we know him as our Savior. He lives in our hearts if we're forgiven and we're saved and we're born again. He lives in our hearts and he wants to dwell with us for all of eternity. And if Christ be in you, Romans 8:10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. We have hope this morning in Christ. We have hope because God wants to be for us. He wants to be with us, and he wants to be in us. Amen. And the choice is ours. Ahaz chose to reject what God wanted him to have. Joseph could have rejected what God wanted him to have. You have that choice this morning. You can reject it, or you can receive it. Amen. But he wants to be a part of you. He wants to be with you, for you, and in you. And the only way that he can do that is if we allow him in. If we invite him in. If we make the choice to accept what he's offered unto us. Does Brother Jim and Sister Mary get a song of invitation as we stand to our feet?